taught us how to learn lessons from this pastime, not only feel good about Ram killing Ravana and, you know, the different pastimes, but how can we learn from them, apply it in our practical life and progress. So what I've done today is, like, today is the first Saturday after Hanuman Jayanti. So I thought, let us remember some pastime of Hanuman, who is one of the greatest servitor devotee of the Lord. Glorify him, learn from his example, how he came across these obstacles, what we are also face as sadhaka, and how did he came up over these challenges, and take some lessons from them. Okay, so Hanuman, let's take this pastime. When Hanuman had to jump over the ocean in search of Mother Sita, so all the vanaras, all the monkeys headed by Hanuman, Jamvan, Sugriva, and Bali, not Sugriva mother, they all were there, and they all are now discussing that Sampati, who was the brother of Jatayu, he had given them information that Ravana has kidnapped Mother Sita across the ocean. She is in the southern direction, and somebody needs to cross over the ocean. So all the monkeys are gathered there, and they are talking about who can actually cross over the ocean. So one monkey comes and says, I can jump over 10 yojanas. Somebody comes and says, I can jump over 20, 30, like that. Jamvan says, Jamvan was one of the oldest of person there. He's from very old, like he was one of the oldest person, and bear actually. And he says, I can jump 90 yojanas, though I'm very old. But the ocean was 100 yojanas. So then the prince Angad comes and he says, I can jump 100 yojanas, but I cannot jump back, only one side. And Jamvan sometimes tells that even if you could have come back, but you are the crown prince of Kishkindha, and we cannot take a risk on you. But I very much know who is the actual person or who is qualified to jump and go in the search of Mother Sita. And at that time, Jamvan comes and tells that it is Hanuman who is able or capable of doing this service. Hanuman, because of his childhood curse, had forgotten his strength, and now being reminded by Jamvan, he was very encouraged. Yes, I can do this service. And he was very happy, and he started actually shouting very loudly and making loud noise, just being happy that yes, I am able to do this service. So we have seen, you know, so he went on the Mount Meru, peak of Mount Meru. He paid his obeisances to Vayudev, Suryadev, to Chandra, and to Sagara, to Varunadev. And then he wanted to just be ready to immediately jump. And we have seen how the runners, when they start, before they start running, Olympics, we must have seen what is the position they take? They are folded almost like four, like their legs and their hands are also bent. So he also took that position and started growing in size, and loudly he started screaming. And out of his scream, the animals in the forest on this Mount Meru started fleeing away. And actually Meru mountain started shaking. And taking the name of Lord Ram, having complete faith in the blessings of Lord Shri Ram, Hanuman took a huge leap in the air. And when he leaped up in the air, when he sprang in the air, with his push, he pushed Meru mountain partly inside the ground. And then he started flying, going in the sky. And it is described in Valmiki Ramayana that when Hanuman was flying, or when he was going in the sky, it appeared like a moon who was going through very beautiful clouds. He appeared very, very effulgent. And his father, who was the father of Hanuman? Vayudev. Vayudev made a lot of arrangements to facilitate his son's journey, to give him all the favorable wind. And with a lot of enthusiasm, with determination, this sadhaka, Hanuman, has now started his journey to go across this ocean to find Mother Sita. What are we when we compare It's an analogy. We cannot compare ourselves to Hanuman. But when we start our journey is also like journey of Hanuman. With lot of determination, with lot of enthusiasm, we start our journey of spiritual progress to cross over this ocean of material world, to reach on the other side in search of Mother Sita, who represents the epitome of pure devotion for you. We all are desirous of achieving pure devotional service, but we have to cross over this ocean of material world. And then there are various obstacles which come on our way. So when Hanuman was going, the first obstacle comes was there was a huge golden mountain. The name of the mountain was Mainaka. The Mainaka mountain, along with the personification of Mainaka, it came up from the ocean in front of Hanuman and stopped Hanuman. This Mainaka mountain was actually friend of Vayudeva. Once it had happened that Indra was very, very furious because of some reasons, which even I'm not sure what it was. But he was very disturbed and he started destroying many mountains. And that time, out of fear of Indra, Mainaka requested Vayudev to protect him from Indra. So mercifully, out of his friendship, Vayudev pushed Mainaka mountain under the water and saved him. So this Mainaka mountain now, when he sees that his friend's son Hanuman is going above him, he very enthusiastically comes up and it is very beautiful golden mountain, very attractive. We get even attracted towards a small piece of gold, right? Huge big mountain comes in front of us. It is so nice. So Mainaka mountain comes and the personification of Mainaka mountain comes with folded hand in front of Hanuman and tells him, "Stop, Hanuman, stop. I am friend of your father. And your father has been very nice and kind to me and he has saved me in past. So as a reciprocation, I want to serve you. So I am offering you a place to rest. Please come. Take some rest. I want to serve you and I will provide you with some comfortable comforts. You know, like different type of food and some place, staying arrangements. And stay here for a while and then you can continue with your service." And what was the answer of Hanuman? Hanuman, who had folded his hands, very respectfully paid his dandavat, touched the Mainaka mountain with his toe and said, "Thank you very much for your service, for your offer, but I need to continue on my service because I am on mission of my Lord Shri Ram. And there is no question of even 1 second of rest at this time. I have to go on my mission. And please give me permission to go ahead on my mission." So this is an obstacle which is represents the obstacle in our sadhana. When we are doing our sadhana in the beginning, we start with lot of enthusiasm, lot of determination. Yes, devotees tell us to chant and we start chanting and we want to go and we want to do the services. But after some time, this Mainaka comes. And Mainaka comes in the form of different offers of material world or the different offers of our mind which starts making us complacent in our devotional services. So Mainaka represents complacency in our devotional practices. After some time, after few months or year of practices, we start feeling that I have done lot of chanting, lot of services, now I should take some rest. Enough. Now is the time for me to take break in my life. So then we want to take little break. And there are different offers which come by sent by material energy. Take some rest, take some different comforts for yourself. When you have done so much for Krishna, devotees will definitely reciprocate and then they will offer the comforts. But then there is always a chance that when we become complacent in our devotional service, we might lose our enthusiasm to continue in our mission. Our mission is so important that Prabhupada said that we have given thousands of our life to Maya. Give this one life to me. Prabhupada said, give this one life to me. This one life Now when we have started that this life I will give a trial of going back and taking this Krishna consciousness seriously, Maya is going to try her best to dissuade us on our progress to Krishna consciousness. And she will give lot of offers like Mainaka, which might look very, very genuine offers. Actually, Mainaka was not an enemy. He was having a genuine heart to serve. So sometimes we might feel there is nothing wrong into it. Somebody is giving service is also a service, right? So let's take some service. But if it is going to stop us or reduce our devotional progress, we have to learn to say no. How? Hanuman told no very respectfully to Mainaka Mountain. Srila Prabhupada used to say that many times when we chant for years and years and years together, sometimes we start feeling, oh, I have done a lot of thing now. Now maybe I should try some alternative. There was one Prabhupada's disciple who after a few years went into yoga, that oh, now I should do little yoga, that will help me in my devotional service. There's nothing wrong. But then it's very easy for us to get dissuaded. And he started practicing yoga so much that he stopped chanting Hare Krishna. And then when once Prabhupada was visiting back, he was in Prabhupada's car and he was telling Prabhupada that, you know, we should also take care of our health, we should also take care of our life properly, and there is this rasayana which helps in keeping good kapha and this vata pitta balance, and he was talking about a lot of rasayana, and Prabhupada was just sitting and chanting in the car. Suddenly the driver turned back and said, the brake seems to have failed, I am not sure what is going to happen. And that person was completely thunderstruck now. He was not sure what to do now. He was like really looking bewildered. And Prabhupada said, so which rasayana will be helpful now? And Prabhupada was chanting. So he just moved his wheels like this and he said, this is the rasayana which will always be helpful. So there is always a chance of being complacent or becoming complacent in our life. But one thing which we have to remember, that chanting is the means. Our sadhana is the means. Regular chanting, hearing, listening and reading Prabhupada's book is the means. And if we become a little bit complacent in this, very easily, very, very swiftly, Maya Devi will cheat us when we will think that, oh, this is a very genuine reason. And that is why there is a practice in chanting which is called as 3D. We should be, when we do our sadhana, whether it is chanting or reading or listening, we should do with 3Ds. First is, we should do it with determination. We should do it with devotion or dedication, completely dedicated. And third is, we should do it with discipline in life. Once we decide we will do this, we should continue it with diligence, determination and discipline. When we will do our sadhana properly, regularly, the fruits will come. Krishna gets attracted by the efforts, and that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Many times we feel that I have been chanting for years together and doing so much of efforts, but my mind is just not coming under control, or maybe it is becoming very more difficult now to take or to control the mind, and we start feeling sometimes rejected, that is there any actually solution? Will I ever be able to please Krishna? But our master, this Krishna, is so merciful that he doesn't see that whether we are successful in controlling our mind and continuing our devotional service or no. He sees how much efforts we are putting. He is the Lord of love and not the Lord of locks. He is the Lord of flexibility and he is not the Lord of rigidity. So it doesn't give us an excuse not to do our sadhana properly. But when we put our efforts genuinely, with full heart, with full dedication, with diligence, determination and discipline, whether we success or fail externally, internally we will always be successful. We know that Arjuna was successful in his sadhana of fighting the Kauravas. Bhishma was externally a failure. But he was not a failure. He was also a person who pleased Krishna equally. So was Jatayu, who externally failed to protect Mother Sita But when he passed away, Lord Ram cried piteously, saying that today the pain of losing Jatayu is more than losing my own wife. This is the Lord. Who is our Lord? And who can be that person who cannot be sincere to give this one life to Krishna? So this is the first obstacle which we daily face in our life, in our chanting, in our reading, in our listening, basically in our sadhana. But when we will do our sadhana with diligence, determination and dedication, and learn to say no the way Hanuman told no to Mailaka, we must tell no to offers of this material world, the offers of our mind, who is always trying to take us away from doing our sadhana properly. And that is how we can get over this obstacle of which comes on the way of sadhana. After going ahead, the next demon or the next personality which came in front of Hanuman was Surasa. Surasa was the mother of Nagas, of the serpents, and she was approached by the demigods, who approached her and told her that Hanuman is going in the sky on his mission, and it is our request that please go and test his power, and let's check what power he has got now, and let's try to do this. So she was requested by the demigods, and then she comes in front of Hanuman. And she comes in the form of a huge rakshasi. And she comes and opens her mouth, 10 yojanas. And this very huge, big mouth she had opened. And then she comes and she tells Hanuman that I have been blessed by Brahmaji that any jiva who cross across this area has to enter my mouth, and I have full right to devour that person. So according to Brahma's bone, you are not allowed to go out from this place without entering my mouth, and I am going to devour you. So Hanuman very gently, very respectfully, with folded hands, tells Mother Surasa that I am on my mission to Lord Ram, and I am in search of Mother Sita. Please let me go at this moment. It is very, very important mission of my life because I am serving my Supreme Lord. So please let me go. But Surasa says, no. It is Lord Brahma's boon. It cannot go waste. You have to enter my mouth. So then Hanuman starts expanding in his size and he becomes 20 yojanas. So Surasa becomes 40 yojana. Now you enter my mouth. Hanuman becomes 80 yojanas. Then Surasa becomes 100 yojanas. She opens her mouth 100 yojana, almost the size of the ocean. And immediately, what Hanuman does? He becomes very small, just like a small insect. He enters the mouth of Surasa, comes out, folds his hand and tells, you wanted me to enter your mouth. I entered your mouth. I have come out. I have fulfilled your desire and Lord Brahma's boon. Now please let me go. And please, at his intelligence and dedication, Surasa immediately comes back on her size, and then she gives blessings to Hanumanji that now I bless you, that go ahead and you will become successful in your mission. And this is how Hanuman defeated or came out of this obstacle of Surasa. Now what does Surasa represent? When we start doing devotional services, we start competing with the devotees. One temple distributes 10,000 books in 1 year, so I should distribute 11,000 books. My temple should come first. Some devotee does this type of service, I should do more service. Envy, pride, exactly as what Gopinath Swami said, is a basic reason why we came to this material world. We were envious of Lord Krishna. Why is he enjoying? Why not me? And that is why we came here. Envy is a nature or it's part of our life all the time. And when we take to Krishna consciousness, we Krishnaize our envy. Right? we are called as Yukta Vairagya. It's called Yukta Vairagya. We should Krishna is everything. So we Krishna is our anarthas also. Right? We start envying the devotees and we start competing with the devotees. And when we do devotional service in a competitive mode, Krishna is not pleased. We might be toppers in doing all the services, but Krishna is not pleased if that is our mode. And that is the mode which is very, very difficult to get over. And this is the mode, or this is the difficulty which comes on the way of our devotional service. So what happens? That it is a general tendency of each one of us to show how great we are. We want to do everything the best so that everybody recognizes us, gives us name, fame, prestige, or who speaks good word for us. So every time when we are sincerely trying to progress in Krishna consciousness, we should ask three questions to ourselves to find out that whether I am doing this devotional service actually to progress in my devotional life, or am I doing for myself? First question I should ask is, am I eager to serve others, or I am eager to serve my own self and my ego? Second question, am I eager to glorify Krishna, or am I eager to glorify my own self? And third question, am I thinking about Krishna more and his devotees more, or am I thinking about myself more? And then we will know what is our mode. If we are doing devotional service, we might be dressing Radha Manohar. We might be dressing for the deities, and we might be decorating the deities. But if we think inside, we have to really find out, am I decorating the Lord, or am I decorating my own ego? When I go out, I want to see how many people are glorifying me. That is the service which mood we have to cultivate to come out of. No competition, but our mood should be humble service. So we all have heard the story of hare and tortoise in our childhood, right? Hare and tortoise started going from one end to other, and they started competing, and they had a race, and hare obviously is fast, so hare always runs fast. But then after running halfway through, he thought, oh, I can easily go to the other side very fast, let me rest for a while. And hare rested, the tortoise continued walking, slow and steady with the rest. We all learned the lesson from that, right? So then there is extension of this story, some of you might have heard also. So what happened, that time, we all know that the hare lost, and the slow and steady tortoise won the race. So hare came back and told tortoise, I have learned my lesson. I cannot be complacent. I am going to be determined and disciplined in my life. Can we have a race again? And this time, hare continued all the way till last, and obviously the hare won the race. So that was a lesson that one should not be complacent. But the tortoise was intelligent. Tortoise said, can we again do a race? And hare said, sure, no problem. I know now I have learned my lesson. I am not going to be complacent. I will run whichever way you tell me. So tortoise says, I will decide the route. And it decides the route where it ends across a river. So when they start the race, hare is continuously running. It comes towards the decided course, but when it comes at the edge of the river, it is stuck. Slowly, 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 tortoise comes. It comes at the river, it crosses somewhere across the river, and it goes there. And the hare loses the race again. But by this time, over and over, they had gotten competition together, so they had become friends. So hare comes back and again tells tortoise, let's do this race again on the same route but in a different way. When we start, let me carry you on my back till the edge of the river. And when we come to the river, you carry me on your back, and then like that, they came to the final destination in the least amount of time. The lesson learnt here is, what we do is we compete against each other. When we do our devotional service, we compete against each other. But when we compete against all circumstances, together cooperating with each other, strengthening each other's skills and filling the gaps of each other's weakness, then together as a team, when we will stop competing against each other, but together when we compete against the odds in our life, Krishna will be pleased with the cooperation of the devotees. And that is exactly Srila Prabhupada's last instruction was. What was his last instruction? ISKCON is my body, and if you want to please me, cooperate with each other. Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON will never be broken from outside. If it is ever broken, it will be broken from outside. When we will not cooperate with each other, and that comes from this obstacle of competing amongst each other. When we will stop competing with each other, cooperate with each other, and together we will compete against the external world Maya, we will be able to win over this obstacle. And that is what exactly in Mahabharata Yudhishthira Maharaj told Pandavas, that when we come across each other, we are 100 Kauravas against 5. But when we are against the outsider, we are 105. We should always remember that competition in just a positive mode to enthuse each other sometimes to do better services is okay. But we should never try to compete each other to pull others down, to show that I am better. But we should always cooperate with each other. We might have some weakness, somebody else might have some weakness. We should try to fill in the gaps with each other's skill. And together, when we will help devotees do a service together, then this devotional service will become actually a joy of cooperation. And that will help us to go ahead in our spiritual life. So the way Hanuman, when she opened the mouth, 100 yojana, he became very small. He took a humble position. So same way, instead of competing, when we take humble position, our life in spiritual progress will become easy. And this is what Hanumanji teaches in this second lesson through Surasa, that how we can cross across this competitive mentality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastime, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that how he was so much against this competition, that we know that Rupa Goswami's disciple was Jiva Goswami. And once a very learned scholar called Rupa Narayan, he comes to Vrindavan and he challenges Rupa Goswami into debate. And Rupa Goswami says, I am nobody in front of you. He takes very humble position. Rupa Narayan says, then you have to sign a defeat certificate that you have been defeated by me. He says, why not? Sure. He says, fine, then he gives. When he goes out and tells Vrindavan that the greatest of scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnava, Rupa Goswami, has taken defeat from me, he feels very proud. And Jiva Goswami, his heart is pained, not because he says my guru has taken a humble position and this person is actually trying to make use of it. And he challenges Rupa Narayan and he tells that, I am challenging you. You first defeat me, then you talk about my guru. And very easily Jiva Goswami defeats Rupa Narayan. And very happily, when he is defeated, Jiva Goswami goes in front of Rupa Goswami, thinking that he has saved the prestige of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But what does Rupa Goswami do? Rupa Goswami does not approve of this at all. He says, why you need to even compete with these external people? It's a waste of time and energy. This is because you have an ego. And a person who has ego has no place in Vrindavan. You should leave Vrindavan immediately. Jiva Goswami had not done anything for his ego or for his own glorification. But so genuine and humble his heart was, he did not even argue once. I did for you, Guru Maharaj. I saved your prestige. No. Immediately, very genuinely felt, yes. If my Guru Maharaj says that this is because of ego in my heart and I have no qualification, I should leave Vrindavan. And he left Vrindavan. And then later Sanatana Goswami requested and then Rupa Goswami called him back. But the lesson which was taught, that one should not even waste one moment in this competition with outsider or with amongst the devotees. Next, when getting blessings from Surasa, when Hanumanji tries to go ahead after flying for some more time, he is now stopped by the next demoness, whose name was Simhika. Her name was Simhika. Simhika was a demon who had a mystic power that she could control, or she could catch hold of shadow of anybody who was going from top. She can catch hold of the shadow of that person, and then that person she would pull down and devour. So when Hanumanji was trying to go, when his shadow came on the water, she caught hold of Hanuman's shadow. And Hanumanji suddenly is feeling so much of stretch. What happened? Why am I not able to go ahead? And then he realizes that this Simhika is trying to pull him down. And she's just not allowing him to get ahead. And even after struggling, he's not able to get out of the clutches of Simhika. And when he realizes the power of Simhika, what does Hanuman do? Hanuman straight enters the mouth, goes into the heart of Simhika, tears open her heart and comes out, and Simhika was dead. What does this represent? Simhika represents the obstacle which we come in interpersonal relationship with our devotees. When we see the different devotees doing different services, they might have a full huge moon-like brightness, bright thing in their life. But what do? We try and find a small black spot. And that is because of envy. So the way Simhika was catching hold of shadow, or that black part of Hanuman, the tendency of trying to catch hold of small shortcomings in others' life, others' devotees' life, and trying to pull them down is a tendency of Simhika. And that comes from envy, and that comes from pride. If somebody tries to do better than us, I cannot take it. And then we become very envious, and we are always trying to find some fault with that devotee. And as soon as we find, it is done. Then I want to go and tell 10 different people, you all are talking so good about this person, but you know what he does? Or you know what she does? And we try and want to blow that. One thing we have to understand, that most of us around are struggling sadhakas. We are not pure devotees, but at least we are struggling. Nobody is announcing here that I'm a pure devotee. Everybody is struggling. So there will be some shortcomings. There's nothing wrong into it. Instead of trying and helping each other to come out of their shortcomings, if we try and catch hold of that black dot in their life and try to pull them down, that is the last thing which will ever please Krishna. It is said that a Vaishnava Aparadha is like a mad elephant. It can destroy our small sadhana bhakti in our heart. And that comes because of envy. Sometimes when we see some devotee having a better skill than us, we feel, why I do not have this? And then we become very envious. But Krishna has chosen each one of us with some particular skills and some particular defects. But the defect may be something good in us. That is how Krishna wants us to grow. Again, there is a small example. There was a young boy who did not have a left hand from congenital. He was born like that. But he had a deep desire to go and learn judo. So he went and approached a few judo teachers and asked them that, can you please teach me judo? But a person with one hand only, nobody wanted to teach him. But finally one judo teacher agreed to teach him. And he started teaching him one step of judo. And told him that you must practice this over and over again. So this boy started doing this step over few days, few months and years, but the teacher wouldn't teach him any second step, just his one step. He said, no, you just do this one step and you have to become master into it. He said, fine, I have practiced it for so many years now. And he had actually mastered that particular step. But he was feeling that my teacher doesn't teach me any other step. There are so many different steps. And teacher said, oh, you have always perfected. Now we will enroll you for the competition. And he was shocked, I know only one step and I am going for the judo competition. But he went through that competition, crossed through semi-finals and reached finals. He did not know how come that was there. And finally, last day, he's competing in finals against one person who had also come to final. And this person came and did that step, and finally he won that judo competition. Everybody was shocked, including this boy, who never realized why his teacher was only teaching him this one step. At the end, he went and asked his teacher that, "You taught me this one step, which I know that I tried my best and I really worked on it. But how come that only learning this one step properly, I could win the final?" And the teacher said that this is one of the most legal steps in judo. And the only way the person can defend is by catching the left hand of the of yours. And you had none. And this was the defect in his body was actually his natural defense. The reason why he could finally win this judo. Krishna has given some skills to somebody. He might not give all skills to each one of us. If we have some holes in our life, it also has some glory to it. Krishna does not give anything without reason. If we have defect in us, so be it. We can use that in Krishna's service. I'm sure you all have heard about two pots a farmer had. One, a complete pot, and the another pot which had got few holes in it. Every day, the farmer would fetch this pot full of water from his river to the farm, and the pot with the hole, finally when it would reach the end, would have only half of the pot full, and half would get drained out from the hole, and it would always feel very sad that I am not able to serve my master properly. So one day it says, the master says, tells this, that I'm really sorry, this another pot is full and brings you full one pot of water, but I'm so unlucky that I can bring only you half when you reach, and you are doing the same efforts to bring me. Master said, no problem, tomorrow I will not put any water into you. Through the hole, try and see the way when we come from the river back. And when he tries to see, what did he see? The master, the farmer, had planted few flowers along that road. So when the water would drip, this water would fall on those plants, and there were beautiful flowers along that side of the road, while there were no flowers on the other side. Krishna makes hole in us to make something as perfect. Krishna is never defective. If we think there is some defect in any one of us, either us or others, it is perfection from the side of Krishna. And never think sad if we have defect, and never ridicule anybody else if they have a defect. Understand? And it should be one prayer which I very recently learned. O Krishna, let me learn to appreciate your perfection in every imperfect situation seen in my life. And if we learn these lessons, we will never be able to feel sad, because from Krishna's eyes there is no imperfection. Krishna makes everything perfect, even if maybe seemingly imperfect. So Simhika had this tendency of pulling others down when it would see any defect in others. But the only solution Hanuman knew was going and tearing her heart and making her dead. And that is the solution for us. Envy is the root cause why we have come here. And that one anartha we have to tear apart completely to finally be able to go back to Krishna. Little bit of envy also, we can never be pleasing to Krishna. And if we really are sincere to make our way final going back to Krishna, the way Hanuman directly, without even thinking second time, just tore away Simhika, we have to make efforts to tear away envy in our heart. And when we are able to do that, then only Krishna can be happy. If we see somebody's defect, we should be able to appreciate. Prabhupada was so appreciative. Prabhupada would appreciate every single devotee. We all know about Shyamasundara Prabhu. Shyamasundara Prabhu first met Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco. Prabhupada went back to India, and next time when he came, he asked where is Shyama Sundar and Malati? And the devotees said, sorry, but they are in jail. So after a few days, when they were released, they came. And Shyama Sundar Prabhu was feeling very sad. He went and told Srila Prabhupada that I am so sorry. I had to go to jail because of my previous some activities. And I am bringing bad name to your organization. Prabhupada said, no problem. Even Krishna was born in jail. Prabhupada said, no problem. So he was feeling very encouraged that Prabhupada is not rejecting me. Prabhupada would have told monsters, your hippies don't know anything, what you have done. Prabhupada didn't say like that. Then Prabhupada said, by the way, why do you have to go to jail? Because I was involved with drugs. Prabhupada said, so what? Even I was involved with drugs. I had pharmacy, prayer pharmacy. Prabhupada was only appreciating. He would never discourage anybody. This I have heard, I guess it is Jadurani Mataji, but I am not sure, maybe Prabhu knows. There was a Mataji who would paint very beautiful paintings of Krishna. So she started painting one day, but that time they were still in the effect of some drugs, but Prabhupada would just engage them into devotional service. So one day when she painted and she made the painting, she very happily came in front of Srila Prabhupada, Radha and Krishna, and Radharani is having garland. But Radharani, instead of showing the garland to Krishna, she is showing the garland to other side. That is how she had painted in her days. Prabhupada saw and Prabhupada said, Radharani is garlanding somebody else, Radharani has some different boyfriend. And then she suddenly realized that she feels so bad. And then she said, no words to explain them. How to explain why did I do this mistake? Srila Prabhupada said, immediately Srila Prabhupada said, no problem. Radharani is so happy and overpowered by your loving devotion that she is garlanding you. This is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would appreciate and encourage each and every single person with his qualification. What qualification we have to pull others down? We have no qualification. So only hope for us is to appreciate others, encourage others. See anything in good in anybody, encourage. And if there is any defect in others, try to see perfection in that defect. There will be. There is no question that Krishna will have some seemingly called defect in anybody without having any perfection into that. And when we will be able to encourage and inspire others, and then Krishna will make arrangement to also inspire us and appreciate us. And this is how we can get over the problem of envy. Last, Hanuman comes to the other side of the shore and he sees that there is a huge big city which was covered, like which was protected by a nice fort, and there are a lot of Rakshasas who are protecting this fort from outside. Immediately Hanuman is thinking, oh my god, I'm supposed to enter this fort, go inside and search for Sita, but how am I going to enter? There are so many Rakshasas here. So what does he do? He takes form of a very small, just like a cat, and he starts slowly trying to go towards one of the doors of the fort. But this fort was mainly protected by one of the Rakshasi called as Lankini. So Lankini comes and tries to stop Hanuman. He says, hey cat, what are you doing? Where are you going? You are trying to sneak inside. Don't you think that you can cheat me? I know that you are not from here and I won't let you go inside. So Lankini tries to stop Hanuman. And Hanuman realizes, she's not going to be easily letting me go. Please mother, let me go. I have come on my mission. So immediately he becomes big. And what does he come? He does. He comes and gives a big tight slap behind the ear on the face of him. Somebody knows Marathi. He gave a big tight slap on the backside on the face of Lankini. And Lankini was suddenly shocked. She just actually fell. She was almost like lost her consciousness for a while. And when she came up, she said, my god, this one monkey gave me such a big tight slap. So she came and then she, with folded hands, Lankini came and told that Lord Brahma had told me, one day when you will receive a slap from a monkey, that day will begin the day of destruction of Lanka. Now I am realizing the day of destruction of Lanka has come. You may go ahead on your mission. And she allowed him to go inside. Lankini represents
the obstacle on the path of preaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, Jare dekho tare kaho, Krishna upadesh, Amara agya hoy, Guru hoy, tara English. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that it is my instruction that Jare kiha tare dekho, Krishna upadesh. Tell this Krishna's message to everybody. It is my order. Take this message of Krishna and go to everybody. But when we take to Krishna consciousness, sometimes we ourselves are not confident. Am I on the right path? Am I doing the right thing? And then finally, Prabhuji. I thought you came to tell me about it, but the time is getting over. So, when I start Katha, then I forget many times. Just a few more minutes. So, when we are told, or when we get this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Parampara, and when we get this Krishna consciousness, how can we reciprocate with this compassion of other devotees which we have got by passing this message to others? We have no compassion in our heart. If we see, we have no compassion in our heart. We have actually only selfish desires. But compassion comes from the acharyas and paramparas. And what we are supposed to do is take that compassion and pass to others. Just become like a postman. Why? Because this is the best way of pleasing Krishna. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter that those who pass this message to others are most dear to me. There is nobody who is more dear to me than those who give this message to others. And this is a franchising business Krishna has started originally. We think that Amway and all other companies started, they'll come much later. They started with Krishna. You give my message to 10 and they give to 10 other, and like this, this whole tree expands. And anybody who is attached ahead in Parampara, coming down, we will reap the benefit. So when we go out on this mission of Srila Prabhupada, on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes we are challenged by this Rakshasis who are like Lankini. People will come and they will not allow us to distribute books. They don't want us to do Harinam. They stop us, or sometimes they ask us difficult questions just to become an obstacle. But that time, we may not be perfect, but we should know that this path is perfect. This message is perfect. And there is no question to it that this path will not lead us back to Godhead. This is the path of perfection. So if we have this confidence in this parampara, in this process, then with full confidence we will be able to go and distribute this message to others. Sometimes if we are not confident, what we try to do, if we see our relatives, we have bidbag, then we want to hide our bidbag. We don't want to show that I am a devotee. We don't want to show our tilak. We are not confident of our own process, what we will give Krishna to others, or what we will share. So first requirement is that we should be confident that this is the process of attaining perfection in this Kali Yuga. It doesn't mean that we should feel that we are better than others and others are all fallen people. No, not like that. But if we are confident that we are in the right process, with that confidence when we will practice Krishna consciousness, it will give us encouragement to share this with others. And boldly we will be able to share this mission of Srila Prabhupada. This is what Hanumanji told. Hanuman would have thought in front of Lankini, who am I? He boldly went and gave a big tight slam. And immediately Lankini came to the senses. Similarly, we have to be bold when we go out in our preaching. Definitely we need to be practical. If somebody tries to stop us physically, and there are some Matais only, they want to be bold, not like that. But what I'm saying is about confidence. We have to have confidence that this process is perfect. And we have to boldly go and distribute this message of Krishna to others. And when we will do this, Krishna will definitely show mercy. Just wanted to tell that Prabhupada, once he went, how Prabhupada was bold, when he was giving class in MIT, right? MIT is like one of the biggest institute. So when Prabhupada is starting his class, one gentleman stood up during the class and suddenly challenged Srila Prabhupada, why have you put this mud on your forehead? Because Prabhupada put tilak, right? Why have you put this mud on your forehead? suddenly somebody in front of the scientific community, somebody challenges you, Prabhupada did not get affected at all. Prabhupada said, why are you wearing that tie in your neck? Started thinking like that. He never thought about it. Neither he had ever asked about it. Why he was wearing, Prabhupada said, just sit down, think about it. And then Prabhupada continued with his class. And then Prabhupada said that questions are good, but relevant questions should be asked, not any nonsense questions. And that person just descended at the end of the class. Yeah. He had not had no guts then to come in front of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very bold. Once in London, when a reporter came to Srila Prabhupada and asked, why have you come here all the way to London? Prabhupada said, you are also an Indian. Prabhupada said, you are also an Asian. Why have you come here? So that person said, I have come here for better prospects. Prabhupada said, me too. Prabhupada was very bold, very, very strong. When we are bold, we will be able to give Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada told that these Britishers came to India, when they saw Jagannath Rath Yatra, they couldn't make anything that who are these three big idols for whom these hundreds and thousands of people are gathering for one day. And they actually tried to stop Rath Yatra. But then they were advised, don't try to do this, otherwise there will be a big revolution. They couldn't stop. But with Prabhupada's mercy, Britishers couldn't stop Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, but with Prabhupada's mercy, Rath Yatra started in London. This is Srila Prabhupada. Because he was so bold. Because he had faith in the words of his spiritual master, and because he had faith in the words of Acharyas. Last pastime, I'm sure many of you have heard about it. That once, when Prabhupada was that time still known as Abhay Charan Babu, he had a house in Bombay. And he had given that his place to Gaudiya Math, to his godbrothers who would regularly come into Sangha, and Abhay Babu would come, and because he would come from office, he might not, many times would not have time to go and join the Sangha when they were discussing. He would go on the terrace and he would chant. He would finish his rounds. So one day when he was coming, they had a discussion, his godbrothers, about this same shloka, Prithivite Ityadi Nagaradigram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Hovana. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one day will come wherein every town and village, my name will be sung. And the godbrothers are thinking that how? Not even in India, when this chanting is happening in every town and village, why it is written like this in every town and village of the entire Prithvi of the center? Maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant Bengal, maybe he meant Orissa, maybe he meant East India. We are thinking like that. When Srila Prabhupada came from the terrace, he just joined the discussion. He said, what is going on? So they were speculating, you know, maybe this, maybe that. So Prabhupada very boldly said, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prithvi, it means Prithvi. So they all argued, but it is not even spread to India. How did it ever go to the world? Who will do that? And Prabhupada said, at least none of you will do that. Because you don't have faith in the words. When you don't have faith, what can you give to others? Prabhupada had that faith that day. And that is what attracted the mercy and he. That is why he became the captain of this message who brought all around the world. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that this process is going to be there in every part of the world. Prophecy has been made. The way Krishna told Arjuna, all these people are dead. If you want, you can become an instrument. The work is done. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my name will be distributed, it is done. Now, whether to become an instrument or not, it is our decision. It is like a match which is already fixed. Now, an intelligent person will take part of the fixed match on the winner's side. The match has been fixed against Maya and against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already declared that it's going to be done. And if we want, we can become his instrument and take the glory. If not, we will be the part of the Maya. Prabhupada used to say that if you will not become part of the solution, you will always become part of the problem. So let's become part of the solution. Prophecy has been made. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Krishna's name is going to be sung all over the world. It is now our choice whether we want to become part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Srila Prabhupada's army or we don't want to. If we become their army, the glory is just going to follow just the way Arjuna got the glory. We are not going to be here working for the glory anyways. We work because Krishna said, Arjuna said that I will fight. Why? Because that is going to please you. And that is what when we will understand, that when we will take this process sincerely, fight against our own obstacles with faith in Krishna, when we will take up this process and share with others, the final result is fixed. So I'm just going to summarize that the four obstacles. First Hanuman came across Mainaka Mountain. And Mainaka Mountain represents the obstacle in our sadhana. And the only way of solution is to say, learn to say no to the offers of mind and to the offers of Maya. And to remain disciplined, determined, dedicated in our sadhana. Next is Surasa. Surasa represents obstacle in our devotional service, which is obstacle of competition and conflict with the devotees. And the solution is become humble, become small. Do not compete against each other. Compete together by cooperation against the odds and challenges. So instead of competition with devotees, cooperate with devotees. Third is the Simhika. Simhika represents the way she would pull down, pulling at the shadows. Simhika represents the tendency of envy, pulling the other devotees down. And the only way to come out of it is by appreciating and encouraging devotees and seeing good in others and understanding that any fault or any defect, so-called shortcoming in anybody, is Krishna's perfection. It's no imperfection. And last is Lankini. She represents the obstacle in the path of our preaching in Krishna consciousness. And the solution is become bold. And that boldness will come only when we have the faith in Krishna, Guru and Parampara. Final thing is done. Krishna's name is already decided. Is going to be sung in every town and village. If we have faith, we will boldly go, have faith in this moment and share with others. If not, we are the losers. Thank you very much. I know that most of you knew about these pastimes. There's nothing that I had to tell or I had to share. I had just read, heard, whatever had inspired me, I just shared. So if there is anything which any one of you feel in the beginning, I told, make a decision, something I'm going to do, either with my sadhana or with my relationship with other devotees or about my preaching. Make one resolution and try and see if you will be the success of our sangha. And it won't be just an entertainment, but actually it will be for advancement. And please know that it's all the glories of Srila Prabhupada.